It's much better to know what you believe so you can live what it is you believe. And so each Sunday we have an affirmation of our faith taken from God's Word. Today's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his, that is, God's, household. The reading of God's Word is from Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, verses 43 through 48 in that 5th chapter, where Jesus is quoted as saying, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Today we return to a topic that is larger than just one sermon, and hence our return to the topic. It's appropriate to talk about our holiness. We can either talk about God's holiness or talk about our holiness, but it's appropriate at this time of year to talk about our holiness because the topic troubles some people and the topic troubled our pilgrim ancestors a lot. And that seems odd because the traditional view of the pilgrims was and has been that they never did anything wrong. They were the originators of the puritanical attitude. But that's how the human mind works, isn't it? You get pretty good at something, whether it's sports or being a parent or a philanthropist, and you begin to wonder if you're doing enough. You might even begin to worry that you're not doing it right. Christians, too, can begin to doubt even their salvation. And that has produced an industry of books, book after book, that wants to help you to know that you are saved, for you to quit worrying about it and start living it. As followers of Jesus, we become troubled by Jesus' own words that we just heard read from Matthew's Gospel. "You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Those words will often send sensitive people to the pastor's office for a counseling session or send them to a Christian counselor, because we already know that no one but Jesus was perfect, morally perfect, so hundreds of scholars have spent many hours trying to understand and explain Jesus' words. Even the Apostle Paul said they had not achieved perfection either through the law or otherwise. The short answer to our guilt-inducing worries about perfection and holiness are found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by a single offering he," that is Jesus, "has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, says Hebrews 12:2. So sanctification is a process, and we are considered perfect while we are in that process. So the question then becomes, rather than how do I know that I am saved, we might ask, how do I know that I'm in the process? How do I know that I'm being sanctified because I am already saved and my sanctification is strong evidence, if not proof, that I am saved? Well, that's a good question. It's a question about progress in faith, isn't it? It's a question about growth in faith. Just to give you an idea about how many times the Bible talks about these topics, the word holy is in the Bible over 600 times, the word holiness over 330 times, and the word growth over 120 times. And you can all recall some story of Jesus's, some parable wherein he talks about growth. The topic of holiness was a problem in Jesus's day, wasn't it? Holiness was the Pharisees' problem, was it not? They were always trying hard to be holy or be clean. They wanted other people to be holy and clean like them. Jesus said that the Pharisees were trying too hard to be holy in the wrong direction. Christians today are too well known to tell other people how they should be holy or holier. And why do Christians have a reputation for that? Because enough of us have had a holier-than-thou attitude toward other people, both inside the church and outside the church. It was a problem that the Pharisees also had. They were too holy or too clean to even talk or hang out with some other people. Oddly enough, Jesus, who was holy, was never accused of a holier-than-thou attitude, and Jesus was the holiest man to walk the earth. People who act holier-than-thou often quote Jesus, even though Jesus was never accused of being holier-than-thou. How does anyone explain that? So holiness is a problem. We had an interesting discussion in the Bible study class on heaven a few weeks ago. And if you talk about heaven for very long, the topic of holiness is going to come up. The author of our book on heaven, the basic source for our study on heaven, Dr. Robert Jeffress, talked about being on the road to heaven. I like that picture. Being on the road to heaven. Why do I like that picture of being on the road to heaven? Because I've seen people going quickly on the road to heaven. I've seen people go slowly on the road to heaven. I've seen people stopped on the road to heaven. I've seen people get completely off the road to heaven, which can only mean that they're on their way to someplace else. Or I could put it this way, if anyone stops following Jesus and follows someone else, or stops following Jesus because they refuse to follow Jesus, they can't very well get to where Jesus is, can they? So Dr. Jeffress writes in his book, A Place Called Heaven, about signs or signposts that let you know that you are indeed on the road to heaven. You might need some signposts. At least in my mind, we might need signposts. Our Lord Jesus said, Matthew 7:14, the way is hard that leads to life. So if it's hard to find that road to heaven, or hard to stay on that road to heaven, then maybe you need signposts. My experience is that on that road, the way of Jesus, the way to heaven, are storms. And it gets dark, and or foggy, or snow covers the path, assuming you can see the path. Signposts would be very, very helpful. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, especially with a GPS, but I've often been driving on an interstate and suddenly realized that I have not seen any road signs in a while. Am I still on the road I want to be on? I have a knack for having that feeling many minutes before the next sign is to appear on the sign on the side of the highway, so that my anxiety has a chance to grow over 10 miles of highway driving before I finally see a sign that lets me know I am indeed where I believe I need to be. So signposts on the road to heaven? Yes, please. So what are these signposts? Signposts that can ease our anxiety, give us some peace of mind, while following Jesus the hard road that we are on to follow Jesus. Now, I appreciate that Dr. Jeffress will often state the obvious, and he begins this section of his book by stating the obvious. No one gets to heaven accidentally. No one is perfected accidentally. No one is made holy accidentally. There is a way there, and you can't get there unless you are on that hard way that leads to life. Okay, so what is the first signpost? Well, every helpful map will tell you, you are here. I've seen maps of an area that don't have that on the map, and I'm thinking, this map is of no use to me whatsoever. I have no idea where I am still. Clearly, this is a map of the area. Where am I? So, you want to have the map that says you are here. You want to see that sign. When you acknowledge that the map is correct, that you are indeed here, you will realize that you are not there. Now, I've told you this story about my brother, 7 years older than my twin sister and I, and we would be traveling by car on a family vacation, usually to the eastern United States, and after a while my brother would shout, "We're here," and my sister and I would pop up like meerkats or prairie dogs looking around. And then my brother would say, "But we're not there." My brother had a little meanness in his sense of humor. You see, part of the Pharisees' problem was that they thought they had already arrived at holiness, or that each day they were farther along than most people and they worked hard to maintain their lead, even if it meant leaving others in the dust. Jesus tried to tell them, "You Pharisees are half right, but that means you are half wrong. You're here, but you're not there." And in the Pharisees' case, they were dragging one foot. What the sign says when it says you are here is really saying that you and I are still sinners. We are not already on the road, or if we're on the road every day, we step off a little or a lot. We ask for forgiveness, check the Jesus PS, or what I call GPS, God-positioned system, and get back on the road. The Pharisees never checked their God-positioned system. They never checked their GPS. And I'm sorry, males of my species, but the Pharisees' problem was that they never, ever asked for directions. They knew what they were doing, they knew where they were going, and they knew how to get there. Come to find out, their map was inaccurate, or the way they had memorized the map was inaccurate. I'm not convinced that the picture of a GPS fits well in this analogy of being on the way of Jesus, but it seems that a person can easily get off the road of following Jesus if you do not regularly check your God position system, your GPS. Now, the second signpost, which is placed along the way, states that a God position system is indeed available from Jesus. And it is through Jesus and the GPS that gives you Jesus gives you the GPS, and through that you reach your destination. Which brings us to the third signpost, because as you might imagine at this time of the present calendar year, having concluded Black Friday with Cyber Monday coming tomorrow, there are several knockoff GPS systems on the market. Those knockoff GPS systems will look right, they will sound right, but they will not keep you on the road you want to be on to get to your destination. They will not bring you to holiness. They will not bring you to heaven. They will not keep you on the way of Jesus. So you must have a genuine Jesus GPS. Accept no substitutes. The fourth signpost that Dr. Jeffress mentions, has to do with the continually accepting Jesus' way as providing what you need to continue in Jesus' way. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, the life. The followers of Jesus were called first the way. Dr. Jeffress puts it this way. If you're traveling on your vehicle and discover that you are running out of gas pretty quickly while at a rest stop, and a man driving a fuel truck says that he can give you gasoline, that would be great. You do need the gas and the man with the fuel truck to put the gasoline in your tank is there. But until you actually unscrew the gas cap for the guy with the fuel truck to put the gasoline in your tank, all you've done is intellectually solved your problem. It isn't enough to admit that Jesus can get you to heaven, to holiness, until you actually start following Jesus. Allow Jesus to forgive you your sins, those times when you step off the Jesus way, that you are not there yet and you might be off track. You might be off track because of your interests, because of your desires. Maybe you were distracted. And so you accept Jesus' loving offering to, as the Bible states, bring you to perfection. As we read in Hebrews chapter 10, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Accept Jesus' offering on your behalf. Accept Jesus' offering on our behalf. And it seems like this acceptance is the password key to the God positioned system, the Jesus, the genuine Jesus God positioned system. The password is, I accept. Again, simply having any GPS will do no one any good unless they use the GPS. And did I mention that your Jesus GPS is three-dimensional? Prayer, worship, and the Bible. Again, to stay on the path, we must use the tools provided for in those tools. And in those tools is the strength to use them. There are some additional sights to notice on your road to perfection, your road to holiness, your road to heaven. Other things you can look for along the way in addition to the signposts. For example, do you find yourself any kinder as you follow Jesus? Do you find yourself any more loving as you follow Jesus? Have you discovered vices you were not sure were vices? Has there been any work to correct them, whether it's anger or speech or money or lack of prayer or lack of Bible or lack of compassion? Do you find yourself checking your GPS frequently? Or are you sensitive to its change in direction? Are you being given or are you finding more ways to help people in Jesus' name? Have you offered your GPS to anyone else? Have you given away any GPS to anyone? And did I mention that the Jesus GPS app is absolutely free? Jesus already paid for everyone who wants one to have one of those apps. Do you find yourself being more grateful or thankful? There are signposts and sights along the way to heaven, the way to perfection, the way to holiness, the way of Jesus, which Jesus says is hard. But Jesus says he will be with us every dot on the GPS map. I hope you have a nice trip, as I'm sure that you will have a blessed journey. Amen.